Chapter 21. Espandoria Tertio. Espandoria Tertio's spires were tantalizing vertical lines on the horizon. 3 weeks of fighting had pushed the Imperial advance closer to the city through minefield, defense line, and trench network. The city was almost won, and with it, the eastern part of the main continent. All that lay between the Primarch's forces and victory was the final defence line, moated by a sea of mud that was formerly the River Oderia. The river's flow was blocked in many places, causing it to back up and its waters to seep into the earth. The result was an expanse of muck where solid and liquid were indivisible. Within Espandoria Tertio was the last and the most powerful of Mortarion's warp engines on Espandor. Void shields and defence batteries made an aerial assault impossible. The battle for Espandoria Tertio would be won the way wars had been won since one man had hit another with a rock on the dusty plains of old Afric.
"Forward! Forward! Forward!"
Felix screamed as loud as his lungs would allow. His battle plate amplified the cry tenfold, feedback pushing it to the edge of incomprehensibility. A wave of blue, green, gold, red, black, and white armored space marines rose up and followed the Tetrarch of Vespastor in a howling line, charging headlong at the plague marine position as if the river were not there to stop them. Dozens of Primaris space marines in the livery of the Ultramarines were around Felix, many of whom had fought with him at Ardium, including Sergeant Helicus and Sergeant Tevian. The rest were grizzled veterans from the first Ultima Founding reinforcements sent to Ultramar. Among them stomped Malkades, the first Primaris space marine to fall in Ultramar, now bound into the massive shell of a Redemptor dreadnought. It was a towering thing, heavier by far than the preceding patterns. Together, the Primaris space marines bounded forwards, outpacing their older counterparts and defying the cratered mudscape to close with their enemy. Flights of dozens of land speeders of many chapters howled overhead. Their gravitic impellers forced steep V's of liquid earth to spray skywards, interleaving in patterns of brief beauty. Felix felt the push of their engines as they sped on, and filth rained on him after they had passed. Heavy bolters thunked and barked from the land speeders' topsides. As they drew closer to the enemy, these were joined by the whining scream of assault cannon rotary barrels and the whooshing roar of melter guns and rockets. A bunker on the far side of the mud sea exploded in a cloud of green-tinged flame. Small arms fire rose up to meet the landspeeders and chased them away, breaking their formation apart. They jinked at incredible speed to avoid being downed, but a few were hit. Directly in front of Felix, one suffered a violent explosion that took its left engine away. Smoking debris curled from its rear, and it took a steep dive. One of the two crew leapt to safety. The other went down with his craft. It tore into the sodden earth with a dull crump, sending up a column of black smoke.
"Forward!"
screamed Felix again. He and his lead phalanx hit the river's edge. The filth he was wading through rapidly rose up to his armpits.
"Forward!"
The motive systems of his aggressor armor pushed him on against the suck of mud. His part of the advance was driving into the worst of it, and the going became hard. It seemed Espandor itself wished to keep him captive and prevent his victory.
"Forward!"
he cried again. His voice became a growl, matching the protests of his armor as he struggled against the drag of the mud. He went over the edge of the riverbank proper, hidden by near 2 meters depth of liquid soil, and the mud suddenly deepened to his neck. Felix half swam forwards. A dead man bobbed to the surface with a sucking belch, his rotting head lolling on his neck. There were many dead there, decaying into the mud sea, their flesh becoming part of it. All were mortal human soldiery. The diseases the enemy spread hit baseline humans hard. Felix found himself struggling through a reef of bones. Liquefied flesh clung to his armor. He sealed his breathing grill against the stench and kept his eyes forward. Espandoria Tertio had been occupied by the enemy for months. Liberating it would repay these dead souls for their sacrifice in protecting it.
"Keep your eyes forward. Look at what is to come," he told himself. "The past is dead, the present nearly so. Only in the future is there life."
The unknown awaited them. Orbital picked capture of Espandoria Tertio had been impossible through the thick clouds of flies that masked the city in all weathers. Other mechanical auguries met with the same lack of success. Psychic probing yielded only maddening visions for those psychers brave enough to try. Not even Lord Tigurius or Codicia Maxim had had any success. Mortarion's clock would have to be found on foot. More than a few senior space marines had opined that the population was long dead and that the city should be levelled from the void. Gilliman had met with them all and told them they were wrong. He had commanded a ground assault to clear the enemy away. He had given a speech condemning any man who would level an imperial city while its citizens might be alive. Privately, he had confessed to Felix that the others could well be right. But the city must be taken, for they must be assured that Mortarion's warp clock was destroyed. Felix was not sure which factor was the most important to the Primarch. Mortarion could withdraw his device anyway if the battle went against him. He was part demon, so they said, and no longer bound by the universal laws. Gilliman had pulled Medicaid teams from across the sector to treat any of the city's population who might have survived. The truth was, there was little to choose between either as justifications for the battle. They were worthy aims. Gilliman wished to fulfil both. That was what anyone would have expected from the Primarch. At that moment, Gilliman awaited in orbit aboard the Macrag's Honor, directing the operation and trusting to his ground troops to locate Mortarion's device and broadcast a teleport locus to him. What intrigued Felix was how the Primarch explained his actions. Whichever he said was most important to him depended on who he was speaking to. In this way, the Primarch directed the energies of his followers according to their own prejudices, without actually lying to them. There were almost certainly other factors he kept to himself. This level of layered communication astounded Felix. Though he understood it well enough, he felt he was seeing something that had been in front of his nose for years. Gilliman often spoke of the Adeptus Astartes' capacity for peaceful as well as martial endeavour. Felix thought he overestimated their capabilities. Grappling with the concepts of administration made him feel apish in mind, as if his brain were not truly made for it, even though the Primarch assured him he was talented in that direction. Maybe it was a matter of training. He had spent thousands of years preparing for war, and only 5 practicing statesmanship. If the Primarch said so, then it must be true. Even so, Felix had so much to learn. He was bewildered by the facility with which the Primarch got people to do what he needed them to do, almost without effort. If he could emulate only a tenth of what Gilliman did, then he could count himself worthy of being a Tetrarch. Felix dearly wanted to be the one to find the fallen Primarch's machine and help deliver it to the Avenging Sun. Destroying the Ardium clock had been child's play compared to tracking this one down. Stopping its infernal workings would be an achievement he could understand. Then he might feel worthy of the honour bestowed upon him. The assault was faltering. All across the front, the Space Marines were slowing, caught by the sticky embrace of the ground. They had begun their run from the Imperial trench line gleaming, all their colours bright and clean. Now they were caked in filth, a uniform grey-brown. The mud was an unspeakable slurry, as much corpse flesh as soil and water. It came up to Felix's breathing grill. His armour sealed itself against the mess. A chime warned him that his thermal vents were closed, drawing his attention to a pair of bars among a miniaturised display of many indicators. The relevant measure magnified itself, blinking urgently. Slowly but surely, the temperature rose. His reactor pack became noticeably warm. All his indicators for the battleplate's fibre bundle stressing were creeping out of their green segments into amber. When the charge was mired in the river, the Death Guard opened fire upon the Space Marines. They had no choice but to endure it. Gilliman had sent the Space Marines forwards because mortal men could not breach the Sea of Mud. Now they must trust to their armour. The battle cries and war hymns of the assembled brothers became grunts of effort. Bolt rounds slapped into the thick morass. Only when the bolts reached deep into the mud did their mass fuses trip. The morass blunted their power, and the muted shockwaves of their explosions quivered the mud. Huge shells lobbed by the Death Guard's siege tanks fell, their watery explosions welling up bubbles and decayed body parts from the riverbed. Across the battlefront, almost 10 kilometres long, and in the face of heavy fire, 5,500 Space Marines struggled on. In answer to the firing of the Death Guard, a suppressive bombardment set up from behind Imperial lines. Whirlwind rockets shrieked, heaving up domes of soil from the Plague Marines' trench line. The enemy's fire cut out temporarily from one quarter or another, but the trench system snaked back far towards Espandoria Tertio, and the enemy were quick in bringing up their reserves. The ground was a sucking sea. The sky was a messy exchange of heavy fire. Warriors died, obliterated by direct hits. A Space Marine, his livery obscured, sank below the surface and came bursting out again a score of metres away. Felix's footing became unsure as currents tugged at his legs. The flow rapidly became irresistible and dragged the assault out of line. Felix's high-level tactical data screeds showed his formation becoming hopelessly dispersed.
"Press on," he said. "Converge on my position when you can."
To his left, Malkades forged through the currents unimpeded. He was singled out by the Death Guard, and a blaze of anti-tank fire came his way. Shells deflected from his sloping glacis, and las cannons burned molten holes in his armour, but he could not be stopped. There was no logic to the river flow. It looped back and tugged hard in unnatural eddies, spinning men about and dragging them under. The Space Marines pressed on against the river's hindrance, foot by torturous foot, their squads mingling and separating, but always going forwards. Felix approached the shore. Mounded banks of earth fronted the river. Filth-encrusted helmets stuck up from behind the enemy's firing positions, many bearing single spikes. A plasma stream scorched the mud 10 metres to his right, bringing up a wall of steam. A second shot decapitated the Primaris Intercessor slogging along nearest Felix. Brother Cleus, a member of the second company of the Ultramarines. His colours were obscured. Drab brown briefly become arterial red, and he sank from sight into the filth, his gene seed lost. Felix raised his foot, put it down, and felt nothing beneath. He lost his footing and fell with slow inevitability. The mud closed completely over his eye lenses. It pressed against him in cold embrace. Not even during his many immersions in stasis had Felix felt such all-consuming claustrophobia. Muted explosions throbbed the liquid earth. A nearby detonation sent him staggering to the side. The stabilization nozzles on his backpack were closed, the internal gyros of his boots confused by the delayed action of his fall. He stumbled, drifted. Heat alarms screamed in his ears. His position moved across his cartograph until, with a muffled metallic impact, he connected with the leg of the mighty Malkades. The collision arrested his progress, and he found solid ground beneath his feet again. He was still submerged in the filth and was forced to rely on his suit telemetry so he did not get turned about and lost. Using Malkades as a marker, he headed for the shore. The riverbed rose under him. He felt the grind of a shingle bank lost in the mud beneath his boots. He forced his way out, his backpack emerging first, then his head, then the domes of his pauldrons. He strode forwards the last 10 metres towards the trench line, the way becoming easier with every step, though he needed to use his autosensors to see while gritty filth ran from his eye lenses. The enemy homed in on him quickly and let fire. Dozens of bolts sped at him. Most exploded on the protective energy field generated by his iron halo. Aggressor armour had been designed with bolt guns in mind, and the thick battle plate protected him from the worst of the bolts that got through. His heat vents opened, squirting mud. Air roared from them, and the temperature gauges shrank back to their normal size. Other warnings took their place as his energy field and suit were battered.
Forward!
He roared again. A wailing machine bellow announced Malkadies' emergence from the mud. The dreadnought came out of the river, streaming filth from every plane of its armour, its rotary cannon already spinning up to fire. Without waiting to see if any others were near him, Felix rushed at the enemy line. Bolts crashed against his energy shield. 9 strides, that was the distance. In the second that it took him to cover the ground, he activated the energy fields around his power sword and bolt storm gauntlet. They crackled spectacularly, the disruptors instantly baking the mud and sending it cascading from his weapons as beads of dirty glass.
For Ultramar!
He roared. Selecting a target, he leveled the gun built into the back of his bolt storm gauntlet and opened fire. He drove the enemy back from the lip of the trench with his attack, bolt rounds blasting divots of soil from the lip and whining off the corroded pauldrons of the enemy. Other guns joined his, in ones and twos, and then in hundreds.
For Gilliman! For Ultramar! For the Emperor!
The Space Marines roared. Free of the tainted river, they ran into the fray. Thousands of guns replied to their battle cry, felling dozens of them in a firestorm of exploding bolt rounds. The flower of Ultramar were riddled with shot and blasted apart. The first rank fell, then the second, but Malkadies strode among the warriors of many chapters and opened fire. His great cannon blasted through the trench lips, hurling the Death Guard into rotten chunks. The Space Marines surged forwards under the cover of his fire, leaping over the trench line and into the foe with the dull crash of power armor slamming into power armor. As soon as the first lines of loyalists were into the trenches, the Death Guard's fire discipline was interrupted, allowing hundreds more Space Marines to pour into the siege works unharmed. Their disposition was in chaos. Felix's ad hoc company was scattered across 200 meters of earthworks. There was not a complete squad in that section. Without their brethren to work alongside or their sergeants to guide them, the Space Marine attack became a war of duelists, individual warriors picking their targets on a whim. There was no time to regather his forces, so Felix fought alone. He crashed down onto a pair of hulking plague marines and was swallowed in the fierce clouds of flies that surrounded them. The insects rattled off his armor, obscuring his vision, but he saw enough of the enemy's vileness. They were not so tall as him, being of the older gene stock, but in every other way they were more massive. Monstrous things, bloated beyond the capacity of the human organism to sustain. Somehow they remained alive. Their bodies bore many other marks of chaos, in the form of hideous mutations. One had a slobbering insect head in place of a human face, the other tentacles for fingers. Felix drove the fly-faced traitor from the wall with a volley of bolt rounds. Using the momentum of his fall, he punched the abomination in the face. Felix's gauntleted fist flared. The traitor's mutated head exploded into scraps that were snatched mid-flight by its attendant insects. The corpse fell down to twitch in the mud. Its companion was hardier, fully armoured, though his plate was rotted through in places and punctured with the thick tubes of phage harvesters through which the ubiquitous flies crawled like bees in a hive. The traitor brought his plasma gun up to fire, the charging chamber blazing bright green as his writhing, vermicular fingers wrapped themselves around its trigger. Felix launched himself forwards, the superior systems of his aggressor armour making him preternaturally nimble. He slammed into the hulking traitor, barely rocking him, but got in close enough to punch down and shatter the containment chamber of the gun. Plasma gases burst outwards. The resulting explosion sent them both reeling backwards.
One of the Emperor's pretty new sons, the traitor gurgled.
The words were only just comprehensible. He cast down his broken weapon and pulled out a filthy knife.
Oh, what rewards would be mine if I could turn you to the primordial truth?
Felix attacked immediately, swinging his power sword down in a thrumming arc. He pivoted as he did so, putting all his considerable weight and the power of his armour into the attack. The Plague Marine laughed. The heretic's size belied his speed, and he deflected Felix's sword with his blade. The shock to Felix's arm was immense. The weapon was small, a combat knife of a type carried by space marines since the day the Emperor first set them loose on the galaxy. It was corroded, rusted right through near the hilt. It should have shattered. The power of the impact alone should have sent the Plague Marine staggering back. That was Felix's intention, to come in close, to unbalance and finish the traitor. Somehow, his enemy remained upright, his weapon whole. Unclean power was in the knife and its wielder. Felix's power sword was flung back, a fresh nick in its blade. From this mar, a tracery of rust and blackness spidered across the metal. The Plague Marine stood firm as old rock.
"I have been fighting the long war for 10,000 years and more, little soldier," said the Plague Marine. "It will take more than a reckless blow like that to fell me."
The traitor struck. Felix raised his gauntlet, pumping shots into the Plague Marine's torso. Several of the bolts penetrated the crumbling battle plate and exploded in the traitor's swollen chest, but though he coughed and gurgled, he did not fall. The Plague Marine slammed into Felix, and both of them fell backwards. A rusty hand closed about the Tetrarch's throat. The plague knife descended, the dark power infused in it tingling Felix's skin as it pierced the energy field of his iron halo and rushed at his face. With his forearm, Felix smashed the blade aside and drove the quillion of his power sword through the Plague Marine's left eye lens. The traitor reared back. Felix followed up with a blow from his fist. The disruption field shattered the traitor's chest plate, and Felix's hand punched deep into his chest. Stinking matter spattered all over him. The traitor hung dead on his gauntlet, but Felix let fire with the built-in bolter to be sure, blasting out the traitor's back and causing his smoking power unit to explode with a crackle of green electricity. For a second, Felix's eyes and auto-sensors were blinded by the insects as they attacked him, seemingly raised to a fury by the Plague Marine's deaths. But they fell twitching shortly after, suddenly expiring en masse. Heavy bolter fire banged out behind him, very close. Felix spun around, ready to fight again, only to see a mud-caked squad of 6 Genesis Chapter Centurions covering his back. Their guns ceased fire. 4 Plague Marines were slipping to the ground, multiple holes in their bodies weeping fluid of unhealthy hue. A melter gun fell into the thick mud in the trench from the hands of the lead traitor. The sergeant of the Centurion squad saluted Felix, raising his massive powered fist and the underslung heavy weapon to his forehead.
"You have my thanks," said Felix. "If you had not intervened, my life would be over." "We are all brothers under our colours, Lord Tetrarch," said the sergeant. "Every one of us is a son of the Primarch. I would brave the jaws of the warp to secure your life, my lord. In your office, the great days are born again. We stand united against the old enemy."
Felix quickly scanned the scene. Imperial Space Marines were coming over the edge of the trench all along its length. The land speeders had completed their mission further behind enemy lines and had turned back to strafe the trenches. His view was restricted. Felix could see no further than the nearest bunker. For the first time since he had reached the trench, he paid attention to his tactical displays and called up a cartograph. Tactical data was being broadcast without interference to the battle group. Felix scanned an overlay of the trench system. Small knots of Plague Marines were holding out nearby.
"Where is your captain?" asked Felix.
"We cannot reach him," said the sergeant. "We became separated from our company in the advance. Tracking their locator beacons in this environment is proving hard."
"Exclude your identities to me."
The sergeant did so.
"You are of the 5th Company?"
"Yes, my lord."
Felix pulled up the location of the Genesis Chapter sergeant's comrades from the welter of tactical data flooding his helm. His own squads had emerged some distance away. There was a knot of enemies closer, and on the other side, the Genesis chapter's fifth company.
I have them, he said. Your brothers are that way,
he pointed.
Though the enemy are nearer, perhaps you would join me in their slaughter before you rejoin your brothers, for the glory of Greater Ultramar and the Imperium of Man. They did not hesitate. We will come with you and aid you. Our brothers can wait, Tetrarch. We all march for Macragg. As do I.
Malkadiz's giant frame emerged from the other side of the trenchworks. He shifted to retain his balance on the soft ground. Felix surveyed the core of his little army. Other space marines were moving in his direction, their progress impeded by the condition of the earth. He was relieved to see they were of his command.
Onwards, he said. For Ultramar!
The battle dragged on into the afternoon. Felix and his growing group assailed the bunker nearby, slaughtering the Death Guard within, who were quickly overcome by the Centurion's heavy weapons and Malkadiz's powerful armaments. The enemy's resistance was dogged, but doomed. Little more than four Plague Marine companies and auxiliary cultists manned the trenches. The fighting was hard, but it could have been so much harder. Felix expected demons or demon engines, but none came. For all the Plague Marines' hardiness, they were massively outnumbered and quickly bested. The force Gilliman applied was so utterly overwhelming that they stood no chance. The price, however, was high. Thunderhawks and unarmed lighters came and went over the battlefield, taking the dead and their precious gene seed away. Many space marines had fallen. Felix wondered if any of their progenoid glands of those who had died in the mud could be salvaged without the risk of contamination. As soon as the last plague marine in the trenches was killed, human cleansing teams moved into the complex and began purification by fire. Priests followed when there were transports available, and by late afternoon were chanting prayers over the trenches. Fighting continued within the city. With the trench network's firepoints and weapons batteries out of action, Imperial aircraft flew over the river in increasing numbers, depositing troops from all arms of the Imperium's forces close into the city limits. Gunfire soon crackled up from the cathedral towers of the center, and Felix pushed on to join it. He bade farewell to the Genesis chapter, but his small band of warriors grew ever larger. Most of his own troops had made the crossing alive and found him as the day wore on. As he reached the edge of the trenches, he joined with a second large group of ultramarines and lost warriors from other chapters. They had no captain with them and deferred to Felix's command. Beyond the double lines, the earth was less torn up. Espandor's abundant vegetation had been reduced by the poisons of the enemy to a few hardy species scattered on plains of cracked earth, none of them healthy-looking. Brightly coloured pools of water filled the scattering of shell craters. Clouds of flies gathered in noisy conclave over these noxious watering holes, and a chemical tang fouled the air, carried by a thin mist hanging over the blighted earth, but it was already lifting. The clouds of flies simply seemed to vanish when the Death Guard were bested, and as more Plague Marines fell, fewer flies were in evidence. The day cleared. The sun appeared wanly behind the thinning, toxic clouds. The further the enemy were driven back, the more the visibility improved. The shattered remains of trees emerged from the departing vapours. Soon, Felix could see all the way to the main highway, where Astra Militarum Chimera tanks, caked in mud from their amphibious crossing of the river, cut their way across the wasteland, heading with all speed to Espandoria Tertio. Other space marines were landing ahead, deployed from their gunships by the score. Felix urged his men on, eager to re-engage the enemy before they were all dead. After 20 minutes of marching, they were three-quarters of the way to Espandoria Tertio's compact centre. The group reached a mound of shattered rockcrete on the edge of a ruined habitation district with clear views out back over the river.
Wait here, he commanded his followers.
He invited the group's lieutenant and sergeants to accompany him, and together they set off up the hill. At the summit, they surveyed the landscape. The roads out of the city were whole and attracting a growing amount of traffic. On the other side of the sea of mud, teams of Astra Militarum combat engineers had worked with tech adepts to raise a causeway on the site of the Odirius principal bridge, linking the severed halves of the main highway back together. It had recently opened, and battle tanks were coming over the river in a long column. From their vantage point, the course of the Odiria was apparent as a darker patch in the sea of mud. Heavy earth-moving machines were at work in the distance, clawing at the ground with buckets and shovel hands to clear the obstructions that had blocked it. Felix imagined that revolting mess suddenly slipping free from the poisoned land, rushing onwards and tainting the sea.
"Wholesomeness returns," said Maculus Fides, one of the sergeants.
He pointed at the sky. The mud on his armour was drying in the rising breeze, flaking off to reveal his cobalt-blue livery beneath. Felix followed Fides' finger. A solitary bird winged its way over a ruined exurb. It pumped its wings for 10 beats, powering itself forwards, then dropped a little before repeating the exercise.
"This world will be healed," said Felix. "The Primarch will make it so."
He believed that wholeheartedly. The group left the rise and pressed on. Shortly afterwards, they gained the main highway that fed from the outlying districts into the city proper. The columns of Imperial armour ran nose to tail. Felix had his men form into 2 files, and they broke into a rapid jog, outpacing the gridlocked tanks. Marcades's massive clawed feet making the ground shake. Soon, the centre of Espandoria Tertia was before them. Espandor was a cardinal world, and therefore its cities were crammed with churches and temples. Felix had still not accepted the way the Emperor was worshipped in this era. It troubled him, though there was no denying the beauty of the buildings raised in his name. The traitors disagreed far more strongly with the worship of the Emperor than Felix did. All the fine architecture made to honour him had been brought low, and so most of Espandoria Tertio lay in ruins. Felix had his orders to make directly for the central cathedral. He led his company down the main street, rebuffing calls for aid and avoiding entanglement in the localised battles taking place all over the city. Bombardment damage from the invasion was evident everywhere in the collapsed buildings and broken roads, but there was a state of advanced decay visible that war alone could not explain. Plascrete rotted on its reinforcement spars. Evil-looking vines coated buildings whose walls were dangerously tilted on sinking foundations. There were bodies everywhere. Felix and his warriors passed stacks of blackened corpses. It looked like whoever had been gathering the dead had given up some time ago, for there were a great many more individuals in the streets, all bearing signs of sickness. A deadened atmosphere stifled the avenues. Bursts of isolated gunfire echoed down empty streets. Aircraft and gravcraft raced overhead. Servo skull probes bobbed in and out of buildings. Together, the noises of machines and the march of feet as tanks and space marines came into the city from the west should have been loud and sharp, but the city soundscape was dull, brittle almost. There was a feeling of something malevolent watching them. Several times they started at the sensation of unseen presences. Some of the space marines were all for searching the buildings, but Felix disallowed it.
"We are not to be sidetracked. We make for the Cathedral Magnifica at the centre of the city as fast as possible," he told his men. "We must go swiftly. Be on your guard for ambush. Do not engage in any other circumstance."
Felix soon discovered that there were civilians in Espandoria Tertio. Amid the filthy ruins of their homes, people survived. They were emaciated where they weren't bloated by disease. There was not a healthy soul among them, but they lived, and they cheered amid their coughs and the warriors who had saved them. Already, Medicaid teams pressed well into the centre of Espandoria Tertio's prime civitas, in some cases ranging ahead of the battle force and putting their lives in danger. Fighting was dying down, and increasingly the sounds of gunfire receded further into the east, changing from those of battle to the single shot reports of the Emperor's mercy. Gaunt faces peered from windows. The civilians were starved and brutalized, but there was defiance in them. Mankind's spirit inspired Felix. These people had no special gifts, no enhancements, nothing, and yet they had survived. These ordinary men and women had suffered the worst the galaxy had to throw at them. It humbled him that he would spend his life in service to this species. They passed through various districts. The temple quarter was the largest of all, and surrounded the city in a thick ward 4 blocks in depth. Large swathes of the area had been razed, and there was not an untouched building. The streets were half blocked by the broken chunks of stone effigies and the dented remains of metal statues cast down from their plinths. As they advanced, Felix's scouts and reavers reported that the temples had been defiled with corrupted blood and fetishes. Always, these were made of the vilest substances, mounds of filth and body parts, or bloody bones and the diseased innards of the innocent dead. Felix could not abide to let these things remain, though time was tight. He did not regard the Emperor as divine, but these atrocities were an affront to his majesty, and so Felix diverted some of the men accompanying him toward the destruction of such profanities. Wherever they encountered the marks of the traitors, the Space Marines broke them. Felix had melter gunners or hellblaster squads obliterate blasphemous symbols, and when they were done, he set the buildings that had housed them alight with his flamers. Materials in the city were wet through and resisted burning, but Felix ordered his warriors to persist, and they left a trail of flaming ruins behind them as they continued inwards toward the centrum. The Cathedra Magnifica had been 150 meters tall. One of the building's twin towers had collapsed, the other stood, and though its steeple was full of holes and its roof had fallen in, it still dominated the center. The city was eerily silent. The sensation of being watched grew. The deadening of sound was most pronounced around its central square. As the damaged heights of the cathedral loomed ever taller over its attendant churches and governmental buildings, the silence grew deeper, the watchfulness more unsettling. As they approached the square, Felix reordered his force, commanding them to circle the cathedral in mutually supportive fire groups. Together with a Hellblaster squad and a supporting unit of intercessors, he and Malkades advanced across the open space, the others searching buildings or covering their commander with their weapons. The state of rot that had hold of the city was most pronounced in the cathedral. Where the tower had collapsed, there was a fan of rubble that stretched halfway across the square. Rotten timbers pointed skywards like black teeth from the broken roof. Diseased plants hung from the crumbling facades. The clouds of flies that deviled the planet had a last stronghold there, and they rose up in droning multitudes from the building, reacting aggressively to the Space Marines' appearance, obliterating themselves on power armor in their desperate need to bite. The warriors picked their way over the rubble. A mix of religious buildings, departmento offices, and commercial premises delineated the square. The majority were reduced to shells. Signs of deliberate destruction were everywhere. Most buildings had carried the Imperial Eye or the Aquila. All these emblems had been torn free or chiselled away, the gougings daubed over with unholy symbols in blood or filth. The square was impressively sized, but cluttered with the debris of war, it looked small and sad. Mouldering bodies impaled on stakes were mounted in groups of 3 and 7, shrinking the scale of the space with the unwelcome intimacies of torment. Ranks of saints stood in niches on the cathedral's double frontage. All of them were headless and their hands hacked off. Beneath the ruined gallery of statues, there were 3 gates, their wood slimy with decay and their metal fittings corroded. Felix slowed. He held up his hand. The Space Marines readied their weapons. A second later, a rocket streaked down from the intact tower, blasting a Space Marine to pieces. A Primaris intercessor raised his bolt rifle and fired. His aim was true, and the broken meat remains of a mortal tumbled from on high, landing with a bloody splash on the paving.
"Where?"
shouted Felix. The Space Marines immediately dispersed, finding cover and bringing their weapons to readiness. The 3 gates swung wide. From within the desecrated cathedral stormed a screaming mob of mortal humans. They were as diseased and pathetic as their fellow citizens, but their faces were suffused with a hysterical joy, and they capered feebly as they ran at the Space Marines. They had few weapons, looted lasguns mostly. The few that could shoot straight must have been disappointed that their shots did not penetrate power armor. The Space Marines returned fire. 10 seconds of fully automatic bolter fire was all it took to sweep the area clear. Felix surveyed the resultant carnage. The humans had been blown apart into scraps of meat and cloth. He felt no emotion at their end. They had made their choice. He set his Vox channel to Central Command.
"This is Tetrarch Decimus Felix," he voxed. "Inform the Primarch. The Cathedral Square is clear. We shall hold as ordered."
Felix arrayed his men around the cathedral perimeter. They waited. The clouds began to split further, allowing the sun to shine through in its fullness. The day grew muggy, and the thick smell of putrefaction grew worse. Gilliman arrived half an hour later, escorted by his Victrix Guard, the Adeptus Custodes, and 10 Sisters of Silence. Codicia Maxim and Lexicanium Gerundium were among a host of Space Marine psychers that followed, led by Chief Librarian Tigurius of the Ultramarines, summoned back from the Southern Marches to Espandor. In Gilliman's shadow, they seemed small as pages, dressed whimsically as adult warriors to honor a visiting feudal lord.
"Tetrarch," said Gilliman.
He dipped his helmet at his one-time equerry. Without slowing, he and his entourage walked directly through the main gate.
"No one is to enter."
A pair of sisters kicked the remains of the dead traitors away and closed the door behind the party. Felix watched the gate a moment. The feeling of a malevolent beast watching him was so great he had the urge to run. He wished he had gone within to be at his lord's side once more, to protect him, as ridiculous as that seemed. Rabute Gilliman needed no protection from anything. Felix turned his back, facing out into the city.
"Keep watch while the Primarch is inside," ordered Felix.
"Gladly, Tetrarch," said Maculus Fides, "though I do not fear for him. There is nothing but ghosts and whispers here now."